are now into the vaunted fourth hour here. Real talk radio, real issues of significance that actually affect you and your family, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm back Sundays live, and that is from 4 to 6 p.m. for an abbreviated two-hour final edition as one week ends and another begins. We are talking to Rob Savoy, also Scott, one of the Rainbowers who was out there and witnessed what was going on. And we're going to take more of your calls on this subject in the next segment. Then I'm going to shift gears after that into a bunch of news. WTC emergency head was building collapse specialist. I'm going to be covering that coming up. But right now with Scott and Rob, both of you together, gentlemen, free for all. I mean, tell us how the Rainbow Gathering started and now grew up to, what, more than 7,000 people?
You know, basically what happened was a lot of people were influenced by the whole kind of Woodstock thing when it happened. The fact that thousands of people could get together communally, take care of each other, and have, like, no real problems and violence. And that inspired a whole bunch of people to create another small series of music festivals, specifically called Vortex 1 and Vortex 2. And what happened was, by the end of Vortex 2, there is a big shift that everybody realized that everything should be free, that commercial music festivals were bad, and they kind of came up with the idea of this sort of rainbow gathering of the tribes, all the different sort of countercultural folks doing whatever. And so in 1972, the first Rainbow Gathering was held in Granby, Colorado. It was originally going to be held at a place called Big Table Rock Mountain, and the Forest Service came in with the National Guard and police and everybody and shut the site down and forced everybody.
That's what the Army's for. It's to keep slaves off the public land.
Yeah.
It's to let you know that you're scum.
Yeah, so the very first gathering, everybody had to move 7 miles away to a place called Strawberry Lake, which was some private property, basically, you know, donated by a ranger. And then on the evening of July 3rd,
so there was a nice ranger who felt bad about the tyranny.
Yeah, and then the funny part is, on the evening of July 3rd, everybody packed up camp, and all night long, there was a 7-mile hike on this old train track, and when everybody got up in the morning of July 4th, which is our kind of big day, there were thousands of people standing on top of the mountain that nobody was supposed to be to, that had walked completely around the roadblock.
And to be clear, they attacked last week on Friday, on July 4th. They understand the symbolicness of it. Got to attack on July 4th. So you guys just rebelled against them on July 4th back in the 70s.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, that sounds evil.
I mean,
rebelling on July 4th. Oh, my God.
Well, and then it was classic Rainbow because it was kind of passive resistance, right? Well, they sat it there at their little roadblocks. Everybody just walked around them. And so, funny enough, this set off a 37-year history of, you know, law enforcement and Rainbow gatherings and stuff. The first event was supposed to be kind of a one-time-only thing, but what happened was the next year, some of the folks who had organized the first gathering got this funny phone call from the Forest Service that said, hey, there's this, like, Rainbow Gathering here in Wyoming, 1973, and it has to go to a better site. And so some folks showed up, found a slightly better site, you know, it was better, healthier and stuff, and had the gathering there, and then the next year it was in Utah, and this whole thing, it kind of became a self-organizing event. People just found sites and announced it every year, and it's kind of grown since then. In both 86 and 87, the government tried to create laws that would make, you know, peaceful assembling on public land illegal. Both of those were determined unconstitutional. And in 1988, it was actually thrown out because the cops were so bad that the harassment and stuff, the judge there couldn't find any way to convict them.
But court rulings mean nothing. The tyranny continues. Anything you want to add, Scott?
To continue from there, court rulings mean nothing because on three different occasions since the 80s, when we won federal court cases to tie their hands as to how they're trying to keep this gathering from happening, we're not even talking about the abuses, just them saying this can't happen. We won three court cases. Every time we win a court case, the Forest Service, the USDA, rewrite the laws in the letter, but not in the spirit of the law.
Of course.
So we go back to court again. Now, in Colorado, 2000.
I tell you what, I want to skip this break for InfoWars.com audio listeners and for the people that are tuning in on PrisonPlanet.tv right now. We're going to keep rolling during this quick break and then come back and take more of your calls on the other side.
So,
okay, going back to you, Scott, finish up what you were saying.
Oh, you know, in 2006, that's the fourth time now that they have, you know, used their poorly rewritten laws to tell us that the gatherings as a whole are not just, you know, to be harassed, but are illegal. And, you know, we've, of course, you know, taken it to the courts again, and that's still ongoing in the appeals process in the 10th District. But, so like you said, the court rulings are meaningless as long as the bureaucrats that are in charge of the Forest Service are going to continue to ignore those court rulings.
And the reason this is so important is that the basic right to assemble on public land is one of the very first enshrined in the First Amendment. Under tyrannies, you couldn't do this. Under King John, under, you know, Prince Philip today, you can't really in England. Now, this is very important to tyranny to have that precedent set that you must get their acquiescence and pay for the right to be on your own land. This is tyranny.
Well, and it's not just in the face of our right to gather. It's in the face of our right to communicate and our right to pray. And it also flies in the face, the permit laws fly in the face of our ability to self-govern ourselves without a hierarchical leadership, which is, you know, a central idea to the Rainbow family.
Absolutely. Let's go back now to Rob Savoy. Rob, anything you want to add about how you get the court rulings, but they don't care. They just continue with their behavior.
Oh, yeah. After one of the court rulings a few years ago in the Ninth District Court in Arizona, they literally changed like five words throughout the entire case, like it had never, ever happened. You know, they're really scared about people establishing precedents that proves that we're right and that they're wrong.
And just doing a crash course in your history, it looks to me like they're really getting frustrated. The powerlessness is really getting to them, and that's why they tried to escalate this one.
Yeah, I believe so. They tried to escalate in Colorado, but, you know, it's really hard to be violent towards peaceful people that aren't really going to fight back. And they're definitely escalating, and they're definitely getting more and more frustrated by their inability to make us pick leaders. You know, create a hierarchy, sign permits, give them permit money. They're just frustrated. They've been trying for 37 years to make us do what we want, and we've quite successfully succeeded in ignoring all of their attempts.
Have there been spinoff, other mini rainbows, to more infuriate them?
You know, there's always been what's called a lot of regional rainbow gatherings, where there's, you know, all the folks, for instance, in Colorado might get together and have 200 or 300 people. Most of these have been shut down over the last 3 or 4 years by the Forest Service. The last big one was in New Mexico last summer, and they came in and arrested every single person on site, like 50 or 60 people. And they were all local New Mexico folks, most of them. And stuff.
Now, how dare them go into their national park where anybody else could go? This is IMF World Bank-owned land. How dare you? Here we go.
Yeah.
All right, John, I want to take some more calls. Who's lined up here?
Let's see here. We got Lance in New York.
Okay, we're talking to two fellows from the Rainbow Gathering, Scott and Rob, and we're about to go to Lance, Chandy, Bill, and others that are patiently holding. Lance in New York, you are on the air with Rob and Scott.
Hello?
Yes.
It's Leif, actually. But I had two questions, Alex. I had heard recently that there's another one of these gatherings that's taking place in California right now, except it's on private land, and I've heard there's some illicit activity. It's called Bohemian Grove. I didn't know if you wanted to talk about that at all. And
well, that is rich Republicans having gay sex. So
yeah,
that is left alone and guarded by the local sheriff and the Secret Service.
Do you think there's any way that you could, that people out in California could maybe call in some complaints and say that they had heard of illicit activity taking place, and they could maybe set up some of these enforcement checkpoints?
You mean repeatedly they find? You mean polycloths and repeatedly finding dead bodies of small children outside the grove? Well, no, that's not. Dead children and gay porn stars flying in for them. That's of the Lord, according to them.
And also, just on a more serious note, I was wondering do you think there's any way that we can use the establishment's weapons against them, things like the Patriot Act and all these other...
No, it's all selectively enforced. It's all run by the criminal, drug-dealing, weapons-selling New World Order people, and it's all for us, the cattle. But we'll just continue to discredit them, expose them, show they're terrorists, and we're very close now. That's why they're very desperate to stage more terror attacks or who knows what. Thank you so much. For the call, Lance. Chandy in Chicago, you're on the air with some of the Rainbow Gathering folks.
Yes, I'm about 5 miles north of the Sears Tower, and recently there have been those black military helicopters flying around downtown really low between the buildings around the Sears Tower.
Yeah, that's to act like they're trying to keep you safe. They think they're fighting real terrorists, not knowing the government carried out the attacks.
We've also had our subway shut down repeatedly for quote-unquote health emergencies, but and lots of, like, cops, paramedics and whatnot, swarming the underground.
Yeah, they're doing biological spraying of their minions constantly. The police are there to be tested on and used and abused, and they smile and love every minute of it. They have killed cops, military, thousands of times, tested on them, made them sick thousands of times, all declassified, and they love it. They just love it. And
so
yeah.
My whole concern is, like, a previous caller today said that Larry Silverstein purchased this year's tower.
That's right, and he might blow it up right in front of you, and everybody will love it.
I've been trying to find that on the Internet, and it just comes up.
No, it was in the Chicago Tribune. He bought it 2 years ago. I just didn't want to correct the caller. It happened 2 years ago. He said recently, but that's not that recent.
Oh, okay. In any case, so I was just wondering if on your website or if you can mention, like, sort of like an immediate warning signs, I guess, that citizens like myself who travel in and out of the loop occasionally, you know, what to look for, you know, for like some sort of, because you mentioned like nuking Chicago, like what we can look out for.
Well, that's because the globalists like to brag. They've said that Al Qaeda will probably hit Chicago. They loved it and they smile, and it's a public threat. Everybody in the know, which is most of the planet, knows, oh, look, the terrorist is bragging. Only the brainwashed Americans don't understand the message. I mean, Gary Hart said, we stage terror attacks. I mean, publicly, we went and talked to him. He said, yeah, we stage terror attacks. And it's like, that's the way it is. Shut up. I appreciate your call, but I mean, as for not being able to find it on the internet, watch this. Larry Silverstein Sears Tower, okay? And I typed it in, and MetLife will sell Sears Tower, Wall Street Journal, Top Story, Real Estate Journal. So people always tell me they can't find this stuff, and I don't understand it. Larry Silverstein Sears Tower, okay? And I clicked it, and this is intermediate internet. It's not loading. But it will, and I'll be able to read you the headline. But there was a score of mainstream articles about it. And you can read it, and it has the headline there for you. MetLife will sell Sears Tower. It says investors, Larry Silverstein Group, that owns the World Trade Center lease, are among the buyers of the Sears Tower, which MetLife, Inc. agreed to sell Thursday for more than $800 million, according to people familiar with the situation. And this was more than 2 years ago. I'm sorry. Time flies. This was March 12, 2004. He bought it in, the sale was complete early 2005. So that is, 3+ years ago. Okay. So, does that answer your question? Good. Okay. Going back to the Rainbow Gathering, folks, let's take another call for them and, see if, they, have anything to say. Bill, where are you calling from? You're on the air.
Hey, Alex, I'm in Sheridan, Indiana, and I wondered if I could speak about something that's a bit off topic than what you're on today.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I've been doing some research of my own, and I'm so happy with what you're doing and with regard to Endgame and the loose change product and so on. And I've noticed there seems to be a bit of a disconnect. I'm a Christian. There's a bit of a disconnect between some of our analysis of culture and the ability for us to come to the conclusion that there really are conspirators. It seems, I don't know what the problem is. Anytime I bring any kind of this stuff up, it seems like, well, we're just fighting ideologies, but there's no personality behind them. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
No, I don't. I don't understand.
Well, like you know, the philosophy of totalitarianism and how these things come into be, come into existence, and then a lot of Christians act as if there's no personality behind them, or maybe there's some kind of naivete.
No. They've been taught by preachers. The whole church and every other major religion has been taken over by the globalists. They fund it through federal funds, World Council of Churches. And so they tell them you're to worship government and do whatever it says.
Right.
And so that's why they're like that. They just want to feel good, go to church, go on vacation, and just not worry about the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, have you read the there's a book called Idols for Destruction by Herbert Schlossberg.
No.
And the subtitle is Christianity and its conflict with American society. And that was kind of a stepping stone for me in tackling a huge amount of these issues. I was completely ignorant with regard to the economic and the monetary system with the federal banks and the private banks, we should call them. But him talking about how they monetize the debt,
mm-hmm.
and so on and so forth. But if Christians are unaware, that's a good stepping stone.
Well, they want to be unaware, and I appreciate your call. They want to be slaves. They want to believe lies. And just like the liberals do, the liberals think Barack Obama is going to save him. He will continue all the agendas. He runs nothing. He is no one. George Bush runs nothing. The multinationals own and run this country. And at least people finally are seeing that both parties are controlled. They got to be taken for one more ride by Barack Obama, and they will be. But that's about it. I mean, the Republicans are shot. The Democrats are shot. We got to hit rock bottom before we turn around. You know, I took calls for the Rainbow Gathering folks, and people like us didn't really want to talk about that, and that's fine and dandy. But just in closing, gentlemen, anything else you want to add in a closing statement there, Rob Savoy or Scott?
Well, actually, Alex, yeah, I would definitely like to add something, and that's, you know, this has been going on for over 30 years, and we're used to it. It's become a habit to be harassed, to be searched, you know, to be handcuffed and pepper sprayed and all that stuff. It's become habit. What was different about this year, and the reason there's a hubbub this year, is because they marched with live ammo into the village where they know we keep our children. They threatened our children. One accident, one twitch of the finger, and my child or someone else's child could have been killed.
And then they're going to kill a bunch of you and plant weapons on you because they're going to have to get the videos. That's the problem, is that they would have shot a child. They would have mowed everybody down, hunted you down, and killed you. I'm not kidding, especially feds. And then, you know, taking the videos. And that's the problem, is they will escalate to cover up their crimes.
Right. And, you know, that's like I said, my concern and the reason for maybe an escalation in our attention through the media this year is because of the fact that children were endangered. And children were endangered knowingly. It isn't like these people didn't know. The commander of that team, I've seen him in court. I know that he knows what Kid Village is. I know that he knows where Kid Village is.
Well, of course they went there, you know, to go after your kids to get a response from you. They're into psychological warfare. They just don't realize they're under similar mind control from those above them. I mean, this is just despicable activities that we're seeing from them. But those are great points you're making. Anything you want to add, Rob Savoy?
Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, next year we'll be in New Mexico, July 1st to 7th. Since the law enforcement troubles have been getting worse and worse every year, I'd say, hey, come on out to the gathering next year for some fun and games.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the answer to their tyranny is to have 24,000 people out there, 50,000.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. And because we are inherently incredibly peaceful people, you know, no matter how bad things get, the police have to realize that they cannot attack peaceful people.
Now, I'm surprised
the
they haven't.
There, the less they can do it.
I'm surprised they haven't pulled provocateur actions. You know, they can hire their anarchists that dress up like hippies.
Some other day, call me back on that, and I can talk about that for hours. They've been doing all this stuff to us forever and ever and ever. But
oh, so they do have spies and provocateurs?
Oh, yeah, we have problems with people coming in and stealing equipment. We have all sorts of stuff. They pull out, and at the West Virginia gathering 3 years ago, they stole the water pipe before the gathering that we used to bring clean, filtered water to people. We could go on and on and on about all this kinds of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, people should come next year and use their own eyes and ears and stuff to see and hear what's going on.
Yeah, it's important to see evil for yourself.
Exactly.
I tell you what, let's talk during this break so we have four more minutes, and I'm going to come back and get into the other news. But for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers and InfoWars.com audio stream listeners, we're going to talk and take a few calls from Scott, Jim, and Colin during this quick break. Then I'm going to get into some 9/11 news and a lot more, some economic news as well. Infowars.com is the website, prisonplanet.com. There's also classic.prisonplanet.com, classic.prisonplanet.com, if you like the old look of Prison Planet. Okay, we're now behind the scenes here with you guys. Tell me a little bit more about provocateurs. Do you ever ask these cops with their dreadlock wigs on and stuff. Do you ever ask them, you know, why are you doing this? I mean, we're not bad guys. You know, starting fights with other officers so you can attack us is wrong. And I mean, and do they just smile at you and say I'm evil, like I've had them say to me, or what is that
yeah,
like?
Yeah, basically. I mean, a few years ago, I saw somebody hanging out in one of the gathering kitchens late at night, and then 3 days later, I saw him in a Forest Service uniform and name badge in court, long hair, beard, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, basically, they think that we're evil. They think that we're criminals. They think that we're just not the kind of people that this country should have, and so they put a lot of their energy into basically, you know, demoralizing people, distracting us, and trying to destroy our pretty much amazing effectiveness.
Well, I guarantee you, the hippies they've got working for them are transhumanists, are bioethicists, eugenicists who hate human life. And so they're a very dark force, has to be dealt with. Let's take a call from Scott in Arizona. You're on the air with the other Scott and Mr. Savoy. Go ahead.
Yeah, Alex?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I got a comment that I, something I heard on mainstream media yesterday, and I don't think anybody's really heard about this yet. There is a deal with a new documentary that the new mainstream says, if you haven't heard about this yet, you will. And it's basically saying there are 600 British children who are sent by their parents and 600 American kids off to train, I mean, to be, go to school with Al-Qaeda type of people, you know, over there and train under their rule. And
yeah, no, sir. That's the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Al-Qaeda. It's a huge CIA op. None of us trust each other. They're saying there's 5,000 Al-Qaeda. Children are Al-Qaeda. Arrest everyone. Trust no one. Total crap. First they train you, hey, hate the foreigners, the brown-skinned people. Take their rights. Then they flip it overnight and say, you are Al-Qaeda. And what did you see this latest promo on? Fox or ABC or CNN?
This was on this was on the Glenn Beck show, but it was a guy that was subbing in, and he said this is what he said afterward. He said, now what's going on is that these kids at first didn't get brainwashed. It took 3 years to get brainwashed, and now that they are, they're coming back here and saying 911 was an inside job, and they're coming in and they're basically infiltrating our politicians and stuff and confronting them.
Hold on. I didn't hear that. Well, Glenn Beck's a total operative. He'll say, I fight the New World. Well, hold on. Well, I've been telling you, sir, that's the talking point from all these guys on TV is 9/11 truth is Al-Qaeda. We're staging attacks. We blew up the Army recruiting naval thing with that in Times Square with a firecracker. We need to go to camps. And then so you're saying they're now merging the two of the white Al-Qaeda and saying it's 9/11 truth.
That's exactly what they're saying. It was a guy that was filling in for Glenn Beck yesterday.
Good God.
He said that this new operative thing that's coming out, and we will hear about it, it's just starting to hit, is that this film is basically saying that these kids went over there to that country, trained under Al-Qaeda, and now we're coming back here and saying 911 was an inside job, and they're...
And so that way his idiot audience that hears this, then when they hear somebody confronting McCain, that shows how scared they are, and McCain starts, you know, basically, you know, breaking down, then they can say we're Al-Qaeda. Stay there. I want to get to you later. I got to say bye to my guest. Gentlemen, okay. Fire out any websites you think people need to check out for the Rainbow Gathering.
Basically, the number one sort of unofficial website is welcomehome.org, and I've got a sub-collection of pages with all the police reports and videos.
Okay.
And
well, we'll talk to you as this develops, and I hope to meet you out there next year if I haven't been locked up for being a secret Al-Qaeda. Thank you both for joining us.
All right, bye.
All right, here we go.
Beautiful friends. This is the end, my only friend, the end.
I tell you what, let's play that clip, John. I sent it to you, the CNN one, of John McCain a few days ago. This is happening everywhere he goes. This was on CNN, Fox, C-SPAN, a bunch of other places, live. Got huge attention, and the young man stands up and reads a PNAC document. I believe this is We Are Change. Stands up and reads a PNAC document about... you know, needing terror attacks. And, yes, they're all over the news saying we are Al-Qaeda. We need to be arrested. No, you know, no debate of did the vice president write this? Did John McCain fund this? Are these Republican memos saying they want to stage terror attacks? Do all these leaders admit they stage terror attacks? It's like, oh, no. Alex Jones was secretly trained in Afghanistan. He's under direct Bin Laden command. Okay, well, let's say that was hypothetically true, which is just ridiculous. I am 34 years old, so I was trained as a small child, reportedly, by Al-Qaeda. And so that would be in the early 1980s, late 1970s, when Osama bin Laden was in junior high, I guess when I was about 5 years old, in 79, living in Dallas, Texas, that would mean that right when the CIA founded Al-Qaeda with Zbigniew Brzezinski and had them attack Russia, I was sent, along with Luke Radowski, who wasn't born, and everybody else, I was sent to Afghanistan, and I was trained when the U.S. was running the operation. I mean, this is the kind of crap they feed people, and yes, they are saying it. There are 5,000 blonde-haired, blue-eyed Al-Qaeda. They are everywhere. They are sleepers. Trust no one. I mean, come on, cops listening. What is the latest thing you're going to believe? I mean, is there no end to it? And you said you were listening to Glenn Beck, Scott, and you heard this?
Yeah, it was Glenn Beck's fill-in guy. That was yesterday that I heard this.
What was this little... Oh, he was taking callers?
He wanted to take callers on it afterwards.
Did you hear that part?
No, I didn't. I had to go at that point. But I did hear everything. He started out by saying... We didn't know where he was going with it at first. He goes, there's a new film that's out. It's a documentary film. It's about 600 British kids that their parents sent them over to these jihadist camps to train under them, I mean, to learn their way of life. And then he said, and 600 American kids. And then he went on to say, at that point...
And let me guess, Adam Gadon, the son of the head of the ADL, I'm sure he's involved. This is ridiculous. Okay, what else?
Okay, so basically he said the first year, and he broke it down just like this. The first year, they went back and checked on the kids, and the kids, you know, weren't brainwashed. They wanted to come back home. They weren't happy with it. The second year, they were fitting in a little bit better. By the third year, he said they were completely brainwashed, and this is exactly how he told us. And then he said at that point, they were then, after they were brainwashed, their parents then brought them back to the U.S. shortly thereafter, and then they started basically saying that the government staged 911, and 911 was an inside job, and, you know, basically trying to cause chaos in the political form against our American government here.
And so protesting, asking people about PNAC, asking them about lying about WMDs, you're now all secretly Al-Qaeda. That's why Truth Rising, and I know they've been saying similar things, I hadn't heard that, is so vital, so they see who we really are, and so they see Gary Hart admitting they staged terror attacks, so they see the cops saying, we're going to say you're terrorists, we're going to plant bombs on you. The public has got to see Truth Rising. It's in the top 10 of Google Video. Get it out to everybody right now. Buy the DVD. Make thousands of copies like your life depends on it. Every one of you listeners, we're in a life and death fight against the terrorist. Did they say the name of the ridiculous CIA film?
Yes, they did. Alex, I'm sorry, I can't remember it, but if anybody wants, if Glenn Beck has his prior podcast on there.
Somebody go on the message board. Hold on. Go on the Prison Planet message board. And post it in there. People find it. By the end of the show, if you can, make a top thread on PrisonPlanet.com forum. Find it. We'll cover it Sunday on the show. And we'll have articles on Prison Planet and InfoWars today. This is huge, Scott. This is unbelievable that what you're saying is true and accurate. I know they're saying similar things, but I hadn't heard them put it all together.
Yeah, I swear to you on it. That's exactly what he said yesterday. And I'm at work, Alex, so I'm not able to post it right now. But when I get back to my home, I can do that.
All right, thank you so much. And did he say then what Glenn Beck has said on TV? Use the army against 9/11 truthers because they're aiding Al Qaeda.
I remember seeing that a while back ago, that Glenn Beck
but
did
the guy didn't add that talking point. Okay, thank, or at least what you heard. Thank you. Yeah, we're going to come back and play why they're saying we are trained by Al-Qaeda. Oh, my God. Of course, then they tell you Al-Qaeda's taking credit for the attacks, but then Al-Qaeda's also saying they didn't do the attacks. And, I mean, are you going to believe that, folks, that I've been secretly trained by Al-Qaeda? I mean, come on.
We're on the march. Man. The empire's on the
There's
run.
No end to this stuff anymore.
Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
I'm going to keep going. I'm not stopping. Oh, my God. Hey, John. Come on air with me right now. John, you remember being trained with me at the terror camp when you were one and I was 10?
Oh, yeah, that was fun. Mm. It was a good old time.
Remember when Bin Laden would change our diapers?
Oh, yeah.
Man, how dumb do they think we are, John?
I don't know.
Well, I guess they're commanding real Al-Qaeda forces against Iran, our government is, and then saying Iran's Al-Qaeda when they're Shiite. So I guess there's nothing the public won't buy. They'll probably tell them we're blood-drinking vampire aliens from Pluto.
If you're out there listening to Glenn Beck, then obviously, yeah, you got some problems.
Well, he mixes in New World Order and stuff. But then, I mean, I'll hear him. He'll do that to fool people, and then he'll flip it. God, he's a dangerous little pud.
Oh, yeah.
God, he's a... Man, he is dangerous.
He is evil.
The good news is we're hurting these bastards bad, man. I mean, have you seen all the stuff coming out, how they isolated who's the thermite weapons experts? There's only a few dozen. It happens to be the whole people working at Building 7 and then with NIST covering it up. And I mean, we're just finding out more and more. And then we've got... Have you seen this video where they had all these guys out in ball caps saying the same script on different news channels as if they were just citizens going, oh, yeah, I saw the plane fly in with a big fireball, and the building collapsed mostly from structural damage from the intensity of the fires. We've got them, the guilty right there. Meanwhile, they're telling the public, you're going to see blonde-haired, blue-eyed people saying the government did it. They're really with Al-Qaeda. I mean, this is the most ridiculous crap I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, it's got to be one way or the other.
God, it's hellish. It's hellish. I mean, it's... But to really know they did it, I mean, to really know, and to then find out who did it, to find out who their names are, not just the higher-ups that ordered it, but, I mean, to know who the bombers were, be discovering this. And then our movements fill with all this infighting and all this other crud that doesn't even matter while it's all ending. It's all coming to an end. It's all we're here at the end with psycho killers running everything, preparing to arrest all the blonde-haired blue eyes as Al-Qaeda. They'll probably have Arabs doing it. I swear that's about half of what the Secret Service is now on the airport screeners. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, and illegal alien felons running everything. They're already hiring all them. Jesus. Oh. We're in so much trouble, buddy. All right, Pallywell, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Do you have that? I know I sent you a bunch of clips of McCain being confronted. You have the latest one, right?
I sure do.
All right, let's come in with that. And then I know I've got Tim Larson coming on. Tell him about 44 after, okay?
Okay, yeah, I got to run up there and make sure he's all set and ready because I haven't seen him yet.
Yeah, I'm knowing the guys are probably busy. Just see if you can get them to drag their hind ends down. I want to talk to them.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Yeah, they trained you. They told you. Don't worry, we're just taking the rights away of those brown people. They're Al-Qaeda. And now, different organizations gave presentations to Congress and said 9/11 truth is Al-Qaeda. And now they're saying we should be arrested, that we work for Al-Qaeda. And they're saying it in unison. That's because they did it, folks, and they know we know, and they don't like that. And they know that you know. Let's go ahead and play this clip of John McCain. This is just 2 days ago. I meant to play this yesterday, but this is an example. You have this young man, We Are Change, eloquently covering in front of all these people what the group he founded. He founded PNAC. And but you read what the vice president wrote now to McCain, you are secretly a Al-Qaeda brainwashed person. That is the new America. And, folks, they'll tell the cops to come arrest you, and they'll torture you to death. I mean, they'll cut your arms, legs off, put electrodes on you. They've been trained. They believe you're Al-Qaeda. They believe whatever they're told. Here it is. Here is American Al-Qaeda, ladies and gentlemen, asking a question of John McCain, who had a group saying they needed terror attacks.
I was curious about a document back in September 2000, Project for a New American Century, or PNAC, whose members included Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Jeb Bush, and Paul Wolfowitz, wrote a document entitled Rebuilding America's Defenses.
You know what? Let's just stop this. Let's just stop this. Why shouldn't I just play the actual video for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers? Can you punch this computer screen up for me? Why do that? Let me just turn the laptop up. And let me go down here to Lord McCain, and I'll just play this. And boy, you can really watch him when he walks away. He is so upset. When the guy asks him the question, it's like somebody punched him in the stomach. I mean, it is guilt. It is, oh, I got one that can see. It's not all these other dopes in the audience. So let's go ahead and play that. Here it is.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you for giving us all the opportunity to come and, you know, ask some questions. And I was curious about a document back in September 2000, Project for a New American Century, or PNAC, whose members included Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Jeb Bush, and Paul Wolfowitz, wrote a document entitled Rebuilding America's Defenses. In it, they state, quote, the process of transformation, even if it brings revolutionary change, is likely to be a long one, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor.
Folks, go online and watch his body language there. I mean, it is, he is, gets real serious in his, I mean, guilty as sin. Oh, my goodness, we're in trouble.
Now, many Americans believe that that new Pearl Harbor event took place on 9/11. And according to a recent New York Times and CBS News poll, 84% of Americans believe that there were some criminal elements of our government involved in 9/11. Hold on. Can you tell us about your role as, president of the New Citizen Project founded in 1994, which served as a chief fundraising and parent organization to PNAC? And is this one of the factors that has made you so reluctant to support the victims' family members and first responders who are begging for a new investigation into 9/11? It's a serious question.
Well, I have a serious answer, sir, and that is that it was Joe Lieberman and I, a Democrat, that sponsored the legislation for the 9/11 Commission. And I'm proud of that. It was a bipartisan effort. And very frankly, the administration was not, enthusiastic about the establishment of that commission. We had some of those most respected men and women in America serve on that commission. Now, with every... Let me just put it this way. I am proud of what the 9/11 Commission did. I am proud that we...
It proposed a total police state takeover. Let's go ahead and go back to the enemy of America.
We have enacted many of the reforms, although not all, of the reforms that they recommended. And I will stand by their recommendations and their conclusions, as will the overwhelming majority of Americans. It's a free country. You are free to disagree with their conclusions. But I am proud to have been one of those.
And his surrogates, though, are going to say that you're American Al-Qaeda. Oh, you're free to say that, but we're going to have every TV host on every news channel say you're secretly working with Al-Qaeda and carrying out bombings, and we're going to have provocateurs come out to your events and hold up signs saying you murdered people and you carried out a bombing. Okay, you're free to say that, but we're going to tell everybody you need to be locked up. We're trained in an Al-Qaeda camp. And these idiot schmucks out here in the audience, they're going to believe it, you little slave. You may see right through me that I run a giant murder op, but you're going to see a lot more, you little punk. You think we're not going to let go of power, you little bastard? We're going to carry out more black ops. That's what the translator, if you ran what he was saying through it, would be saying. Back to the murderer.
Who was, along with Joe Lieberman, responsible for the establishment of the 9/11 Commission. And I support that.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Now, everybody always whines and complains about 9/11 Truth and We Are Change. We do the best we can. He was able to get his question out. If he would have been grabbed around the throat by a citizen drone, they've been trained to hate freedom and attack, or by one of the goons, security guards, then he would have been screaming it. See, as you're being physically attacked and having your hair grabbed, we're not supposed to yell the questions out. We must genteelly be tasered and taken out. But because he was able to get it out, McCain knows that keeps backfiring, having him tasered and grabbed, so he'll let him go. But he's listening to the question. When he hears the thing about PNAC, he goes, total body changes. Just his eyes get real serious. He goes into focus mode. Whoa. He looks very concerned. He looks at the guy like, whoa. And then he turns around and starts breathing a little bit heavy, and he's going, I mean, they are really worried, folks. I mean, we go up to Hart, and Hart goes, yeah, we stage terror attacks. Yes, yes, I'm afraid we're going to do it. And then he kind of flips out and starts pacing back and forth in the film, just looking crazy. I mean, they're starting to break down, folks. We went up to Bo Deedle, the former head of New York Detectives, who's attacked us for 9/11 truth, and he comes up and says, listen, my daughter gave me loose change. I know. It looked like there was bombs. Where are the bodies? I know. I'm with you guys. Come on. I hold on. Wait a minute. And he just starts going, oh. I mean, it's just, it's starting to happen, folks. It's starting to happen. You know what? I got some financial news I want to cover. And then I got news like this. WTC emergency head was building collapse specialist. This story is so important. I'm going to go into overdrive. Are you okay with that? I'm going into overdrive, folks. I'm going into overdrive for Infowars.com. Audio stream listeners is the only place you'll be able to hear it when the show ends in 20 minutes because I've got to cover this 9/11 truth information. I've got to let you know that we are very close to busting the people that did it. I mean, we know now who they are. It's chilling. I couldn't go to bed last night. It was about 1 in the morning. My wife came down. She's like, why are you still up? You know, I've been going to bed earlier. So 1 is very late for me now. I'm trying to get where I don't think about this constantly. And I'm just doing more research. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is true. Oh, my God, that's true. Oh, my God, Kroll Associates. Oh, no. Marvin Bush. Oh, no. Jerome Howard. Oh, man. And it's just unbelievable, folks. I mean, and then I realize I am toe-to-toe up against these guys. These guys are so cold-blooded. And I just think, how did my life end up like this? How did I end up being who I am? How did I end up being in the forefront of all this? You know, I don't want to be at the forefront of all this, but I have a responsibility to fight these people. And plus, if my life's not worth a plug nickel, if I don't stay prominent, that's another reason to keep me in the fight. And also, I mean, if I'm in so much danger as I am, and a lot of us are prominent, you know, I better go all the way. I better make sure this counts. Folks, the government took 4,300-plus American children in one declassified program that foster care had taken, CPS had taken, and they radiated them to death. Now that's just one declassified program. They had another where thousands of GIs' wives would go in to have their babies at the local bases in New Mexico, Arizona, Texas, California, and they would give them uranium and plutonium pills as vitamins, and then the doctors would know they were going to have a miscarriage in so many hours. They'd be there with film cameras, and they'd say, oh, we're just filming this. This will help you. And the people were so trusting of their government. As the woman's baby died, there's a lot of times she died, they would film it. That's been declassified for 20-something years. And there's thousands of these. I could go on for hours. And there are people in the message boards, whenever I talk about this, and people post this on YouTube, who say I'm lying. I'm not lying. Those are all public. It's like I had a caller earlier saying, where's the proof? She wasn't doubting him. She said, where's the proof that Larry Silverstein bought the Sears Tower? The owner of the World Trade Center complex. And I just typed in Larry Silverstein, Sears Tower, and it was the number one link. Wall Street Journal. And I think a lot of people just don't know how to search for stuff. I mean, it isn't hard. Larry Silverstein, Sears Tower. Just type biological, chemical, radiological testing on civilians. Folks, I did 20 minutes in Endgame on it, and I could literally make a 500-hour film. No exaggeration, just reading off parts, the headers of government documents admitting where they killed people. I mean, it's in the, it's got to be in the hundreds of thousands here in the U.S., tens of thousands in every other major country. England is the, they've done a bunch of it in Singapore. I had a guy I know who's one of the top guys in the Republican Party, and he owns a computer company, but I know him going back when I was a Republican 15 years ago, up till about 13 years ago, and, you know, friends with him, and he's pretty high level now, and I saw him, and he said he'd come on the show, then he chickened out, and I had to promise it was all in confidence, and then he chickened out to come on, but he just talked about how he's involved in Singapore with these programs, and they put different drugs in different sectors of the city because it's all in sectors there to test it on the public. I mean, it's, you know, and I saw a thing in Minnesota where they're putting stuff out with the pigeons that sterilizes them, and I had all the documents where they're doing that here and in. I mean, we're just screwed. I don't even know why I have to try to convince you. I mean, And then the people go on the YouTube and say I'm lying. My God, it's all true. I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, I know a guy who's a Republican, high level in the state party, who knows people and is involved with companies that are doing it. And he's like, yeah, it's crazy. I think I'll talk about it. Well, I better not. Or then I have documents where they're doing it. Or Rick Perry's chief of staff, he's got three different chiefs. I'm not going to say who, but he's the head of one of his details. You ever watch him, Rick Perry on TV, you'll see the guy with him. I ought to try to call and get him on. He gave me his card and acted like I could talk about it, but I don't want to... I ought to try to get him on. I think he was so shook up after Endgame that he said it to me last year when I was showing it. But he was a medic, I think he said 15 years ago in the Army, and they would have him give people inoculations. And I think he said eight guys, I told the story last year when I was fresher memory, but I think it was seven, eight guys, come in from a Special Forces base, Fort Bragg, and they're told, watch these men. They were just given a new experimental inoculation, and all of them died within a day. I mean, you know, throwing up, stuff coming out their eyes. And then they were told, don't worry, it's not contagious. Now, take all the metal stuff out, take all the beds out, scrub them outside, spray bleach on them, and then put them back. And he said, yeah, we were then told it was like a biological test. They just killed those guys. You understand, special ops listening, they kill you. Whenever they feel like it. And you're saying, well, that's Rick Perry's chief of staff saying that to you. He came to my event. He said, we wanted to see the film. We knew the governor was in it. The film ends with me, you know, confronting the governor at his house, you know, there outside. And he said, but I do want to tell you, I know a lot of that about the testing's true. I saw that happen. But see, it isn't me just talking to him. It's all the news articles. I mean, BBC saying British government has sprayed every city repeatedly in the UK with chemical, biological, and radiological. And some towns, they kill people. I mean, they've gone into little towns in the U.S. and just sprayed it, and sometimes half the town dies, and they just keep it quiet. I mean, they just murder us. And you don't think they'd carry out 9/11? Killing 3,000 people was nothing. And, of course, even though those buildings were half empty due to asbestos and problems, normally, a bunch of sources reported, between 10 to 15,000 people were there by 9 in the morning. And there were less than that in there, a lot less. And it wasn't just people say, well, it's an urban legend that the Israelis were out of the building. That comes from Haaretz newspaper reporting. But the Arabs were out of the building, too. The FBI was out. Everybody heard get out of the building. You see, that's what I'm saying. They're all out of the building. Those aren't urban legends. Those are true. You know what? I've gone over here, and I want to get into financials. We'll get into 9/11 in the overdrive, this new development. Please get it off prisonplanet.com. WTC7 emergency head was building collapse specialist. This is so important because the headline doesn't do it justice. It gets it. But I want to go to Tim Larson, chief analyst at Midas Resources, because gold went up like 20-something bucks today. It's going up and down right now. It's gone up above 960. And they're announcing Fannie Mae and Freddie Mae may go under. I mean, this is happening faster than I even thought it would. They're saying oil went to an all-time record of 147 plus a barrel. They're talking about, I mean, this is it, folks. Tim Larson, are you starting to really, I mean, I know, I'm not trying to say this for effect. I'm really getting scared here for everybody because this country isn't ready for a depression.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Alex, is that they better be afraid and very afraid because, I mean, the financial system in this country is breaking down, and it's breaking down very fast. We've talked about it for the last couple of days, and, I mean, you got, okay, now you've got, we're talking about the credit markets. Now we've got Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac down almost 37% today. Just in one day. I mean, this has been happening all week, for God's sakes. I mean, they can't keep the financial sector alive at this point in time. I mean, they comprise over $5 billion. No, I'm sorry, $5 trillion of the financial markets, for God's sakes. Now, we got the dollar down over almost a penny and a half against the euro and every other currency. I mean, it's falling apart. We got gold up. You know, $18.
I don't have that much money in the bank, and I'm wondering, I mean, the little bit I've got's to run my office, and I'm wondering what to do with it. It's deteriorating in front of me.
Well, and not just it. I mean, you've got dollars in paper assets, dollar-denominated assets. You're going backwards because inflation is almost 15% this year so far. And I mean,
yeah, but I mean, the inflation's bad, but for people that don't know what Freddie and Fannie Mae are, why don't you explain to them?
Well, basically, they are the two main corporations that own all of the mortgages. And they own all of the subprime mortgages. Now, supposedly, they were supposed to be U.S.-backed corporation that the Congress and the Senate and the Federal Reserve would back. They are not.
Yeah, it's a giant money laundering playland for our corrupt elite. They're taking us for all we're worth. The country's falling right now, and cops are out running checkpoints, shaking down housewives, while illegal aliens run all over us drunk driving and are above the law. Tim Larson, stay with us.
Day after day, alone on a hill.
Tim Larson, Midas Resources, chief metals analyst up there with the company 10 years, studying this for decades. What is the public going to do? Because they still have no idea about the dollar being destroyed or anything that's going on or how it was designed. What are they going to do when they find out not only is their money worthless, but now hundreds of trillions of dollars, conservatively, is going to be put on their tax bill forever while the globalists bought up all the real assets?
They're going to be sitting in the streets trying to barter for food, and it's not going to happen unless people get prepared now. And that's where you've got hard assets at their beckoning call right now. But I'll be honest with you, Alex, I mean, it's not going to be there forever. We had a hard time getting silver and gold last year and towards, you know, even this year in the spring. And it's going to happen again.
And we've never seen a summer like this.
Supply.
I mean, just to be clear here, we've never seen a summer where it goes into a bull market, dollars plunging, every commodity's exploding. Gold is up since last week. Remember, early last week, I'm saying, folks, it's going to start going up. It's at 882. And now, what is it right now? It's at 9 what?
964.50 last I looked.
964.50. So it's up over $81 in 1 week, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't come up here 3 weeks ago and say it'd be that next week. I came on last week and said, get ready. And they can try to suppress it again, folks, but it's only going to the stars whenever you start seeing all the big money guys say it's going to go to $5,000 an ounce. And I'm telling you, they've got gold deals at Midas Resources right now that are steals on these francs, on the British sovereigns, and on the silver. Tell them about the offer.
Oh, God, yeah. And, I mean, be honest with you, Alex.
I forgot to say, I got to interrupt again. Ted bought these at 926. He's offering these at below spot. Go ahead, tell him.
No, I mean, seriously, I mean, that's what it is. But, I mean, before I got on the show here, I tried to get on the Internet to even look up some of these prices, and it's so busy out there right now, I couldn't even get through to sites. I mean, this is the way the things are breaking. I mean, we got the dollar down in massive formats today. We got the financial markets that are just out of control. But right now, you can get British sovereigns, for instance, quarter-ounce gold pieces at 257. I mean, that's incredible. You got the French francs at 205 an ounce, and that's a gold coin. That's a fifth-ounce gold coin. I mean, you're looking at gold right now at 964.50. Do the math, people. It's not a big thing. You've got silver, which is my recommendation, at 189.20 for a roll of Walking Liberty half dollars. I mean, you're talking about 20 coins. I mean,
I want to be clear. Ted locked these in at the price, per ounce of 926, and they're also collectors. And there's a little bit of markup. So the point is, these coins would be what? If Ted was doing it on today's gold prices, how much would that British sovereign be?
The British sovereign right now, if he were, and I don't know why he's selling it at this price. I don't. Because right now they would be about 969, or I mean 269. They're 257. We're looking at the francs at 205. Well, in all honesty, I mean, I don't know how we can make money on that.
No, no, I talked to Ted this morning, and he just said he wants to do this to crush all the competition. You want to get right down to it. Ted just loves my listeners. You cannot beat this deal. This is a loser for Ted Anderson. It only goes to the weekend. 1-800-686-2237. 1-800-686-2237. Brokers will be there all weekend up until about midnight. 1-800-686-2237. Give Tim Larson a call. 1-800-686-2237. Tim, we'll talk to you Monday.
All right, Alex. And I got to say, if you don't pick it up now, people, you know what? It might not be there.
Yeah, this is insane. 1-800-686-2237. Ladies and gentlemen, retransmission with Mark Kornke and all our big guests is going to start a little bit later because I'm going to be right back live in Overdrive only on the internet streams at InfoWars.com. You got to go to those audio streams, and I'll be live right now. If you don't hear me right now, you're on the wrong stream. Okay? John?
Thank you.
Alex?
Well great, done, as usual.
Great show, man.
And I really appreciate you, Bubba. I will see you live on Monday. We're not in the middle of a Great Depression with war on the streets. But I doubt we will be. They'll keep squeezing the cattle for a while longer. I hope we've got time because I got to get my butt prepared.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I'm really getting tired of this crap, man.
Yeah, that's crazy.
By the way, I'm going to put a picture for everybody watching of David Rockefeller up right now on the screen. That is who is... David Rockefeller joins us coming up in the next hour. I got, what's his name? Jabba the Hutt's pet that sits in his lap. Salacious Crumb. It's actually, I'm not going to say it. Okay. Hey, listen, good to, John, I appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, sir. I'll see you Monday.
Take care. Bye.
Take care.
At prisonplanet.tv and aggressively spread
it's going to Overdrive.
Or order the DVD at InfoWars.com. If we don't expose the...
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, give me some intro Flight of the Valkyries.